The question is the following: that in Beis Hamikdash, the Korban Tamid was brought before the Hadlakas HaMenorah. So if you're gonna So if you're gonna daven Minchen Shul when you normally would, and you would go and light the Hanukkah candles first, and then go to Shul after that, so then you're going out of order of what was done in the Beis Hamikdash, because normally we daven Mincha on Friday right before Shkia in Shul, and obviously then we would have lit the menorah first, but that's out of order because the Korban Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im was brought first. So some people are machped on this Erev Shabbos to daven Mincha early, not to daven the regular time that they would daven right before. So some people are machped to daven early. So this way they'll daven Mincha first, connected the Tamid Shel Ben Arba'im, and then the menorah will be after that, like it was in the Beis Hamikdash. And some people also have the issue of that if you light the menorah first, so that's the hadlaka for the night. So it's as if you made it night, and then you're gonna daven mincha after that. It's a tarti disaster because mincha has to be mayom, so it's a contradiction. So for those reasons, many people have this minhag to light the daven mincha early, not to go to the regular minyan, and some people even at the expense of tefillah b'tzibur. Some people will even daven b'yichidus on this Friday rather than davening in shul, and others say no, it's an inyan, but it's not going to trump tefillah b'tzibur. It's not going to trump tefillah b'tzibur. So some people like to try to have make a minyan early. So this way you don't have that issue. But many hold that you don't have to give up tefillah b'tzibur for this. In other words, if you have an early minyan, so okay, you can make an early minyan. But if not, not. So that's the story here. Now our minyan is that we light Neiris Chanukah before Neiris Shabbos. We light Neiris Chanukah before Neiris Shabbos. And the reason for this is that we follow the Bahag's opinion. It became tradition to follow the Bahag's opinion to the Mekabel Shabbos. The Dursha Mishnah Berurah quotes a discussion that Bezman Hazeh, that we have electric, we're not sitting in the dark anyway. So maybe that halacha, but certainly the Hashkafa definitely applies. Shalom Bayis is, but today, if you're not lighting near Shabbos, you still have the electric lights on. So that's what I think in the Dershim Mushabura quotes from Rav Moshe Rav Yashiv, that so we wouldn't have that halacha that near Shabbos beats near Chanukah Bezman Hazeh because we have electric lights anyway. And he quotes in the Dershim Mushabura that Rav Chaim Kanievsky disagreed. Because I guess the presumption is, because even if you have the electric lights, but it wasn't put on L'shem Shabbos necessarily. That was a discussion I mentioned maybe before, that there's a din knas, that if a person didn't light their Shabbos, he's a knas. So this I heard from Rav Abadi, and it's Rav Yosef, and Rav Metzion Abba Shaul has it. And then I saw recently Rav Yashiv also said that Bizman Hazeh, the Knas usually doesn't apply, because Lamaisa, you're still going to have light. Because we have the electric light, so we're not sitting in the dark anyway. So maybe the knas only applies when we're sitting in the dark. Others would disagree and say no. But Lamaisa, you didn't turn it on the same Shabbos, so maybe you still should have the knas. So
So yeah, I
that's
think Rabbi Simon. I think Rabbi Welcher was it Rabbi Welcher who brought in the Rabbi Yashiv's shot that you don't have to do the knas. George, was that Rabbi Welcher that said that last week or 2 weeks ago, or was it Rabbi Simon that
It could
brought
be
up
I
that we
said,
don't?
maybe I said, I don't know, whatever. Maybe he said it. I mean, he learned by repetition. I just sort of quoted. But I saw something very interesting recently. They came out with the Divrei Torah from Moshe Bixatzal. They started printing things. So he had the following thing. He said, what happens if the second night of Hanukkah? That's my birthday, the second day of Hanukkah. It falls out of Shabbos. That fell out of the year of my bar mitzvah. My year of my bar mitzvah was Bo Bayom. That the second night of second day of Hanukkah was on Shabbos. So, and a person has three names. It's the second, right? So he has three names. So what should he do with those three names? In other words, how should he d divvy the three neighbors up for Shabbos and Hanukkah? Again, you're going into this second day of Hanukkah, right? And that's Shabbos, say, and you have three candles. So keep in mind, Ner Shabbos is called them to Ner Hanukkah. So what should you do? Should you say, okay, so I'll use two for Shabbos and one for Hanukkah because Shabbos takes precedence? So a big thought, no, that you should use one for Shabbos and two for Hanukkah. This is the second night, use two for Hanukkah, but that doesn't matter. But Shabbos takes precedence. But a big point out, when we say Shabbos takes precedence, for Ner Shabbos, all you need is one candle for Ner Shabbos. We have a minhag that we light two candles, Zohar v'Shomer. But that's only a minute. See, Rabik pointed out the idea that we have multiple candles on Hanukkah, the first day, the second day, that's in the Gemara. That's in the Gemara. But the concept that we have two candles for what? Two candles for Shabbos, that's not a din in the Gemara. That's just a minhag, Zocher v'Shomer. But the Iker Halacha is only one candle. So when we say that Ner Shabbos beats Ner Chanukah, that means if you have one candle, you'll use it for Shabbos over Chanukah. But if you have three candles and it's the second night, so Rav Bik said, no, use one candle for Shabbos because that's all you need to make your din. And the other two candles you'll use for Hanukkah, because that's Medina de Gemara on the second day to have Mahadran and a Mahadran of two candles. So I thought that was very interesting. That can because you don't say, oh, Shabbos is, because normally we light at least two candles for Shabbos. But when we say that Shabbos beats Hanukkah, that's only the Iker Halacha of Shabbos beats Hanukkah. That's the one candle. That's a big point to that. So you use one candle for Shabbos, and you use the two candles for Hanukkah. Well, now we have a minhag that the one minhag we have on Hanukkah that we always, which is to light in the Beis Knesses, right? We light Neres Hanukkah in the Beis Knesses. Why do we do that? So, a couple of reasons are given in the Beis Yosef. One, the Orchas Chaim quote in the Beis Yosef says we do it because Orchim. In other words, in the Beis Knesses, there used to be Orchim. Now, Orchim doesn't mean what we have today. Orchim today, you invite somebody for Shabbos, so you take him to shul and you bring him back home with you to eat, to sleep. In the Zman of the Gemara, you know what Oreach means? Oreach means he's sleeping in the shul and eating in the shul. That's what an Oreach is. That's why they made started having the minute to make kiddush and shul for orchim. And then the Rambam writes, even though today no one's sleeping in the shul or eating in the shul, but it's the Rambam. You know what the Rambam says in the tshuva? It's like Chazar Sashatz. Chazar Sashatz was made for people who don't know how to daven, so they can listen from the Shliach Tzibur. So the Rambam says that even though we're all Bekiyim, we still have Chazar Sashatz. We still have Chazar Sashatz. So the same thing, even though they're not Orchim, they're no Orchim today, we still have the minute in many shuls to make Kiddush and to make Kiddush. That's what the Rambam writes in the Tshuva. Tshuva's a Rambam. So one of the reasons that's given of why we light in shul is because of the Orchim. That's one reason. Another reason is given is because Bisman HaGemara, Neiris Chanukah was lit outdoors. That's where it was lit. In fact, if you light inside Bisman HaGemara, you're not Yotze. You're not Yotze. Even the Gemara says, even if you bring it outside, because if you hold Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, you need Hadlaka Bimkoma. So therefore, if you lit inside, that's not a proper place. So therefore, you can't transfer it outside. Ad kidei kach. Today, the minhag is to light inside. The question is, can you light outside if you want? So in Israel, there in Israel, they light, maybe Muncie. Where's Ben? Muncie. I think people, a lot of people still, like Muncie is a shtickle, suburban, they light outdoors. And this was a machloikas, between the Dvar Yeshua and Rav Eliashiv. The Dvar Yeshua is probably for most of you and that is commonly known as Rav Eliashiv is. But the Dvar Yeshua was an Adam Gadol Ma'od. It was Rav in Tel Aviv. It was an Adam Gadol Ma'od. He was, the Saba Rebbe said about him that when he wrote his book, his Sefer, Vayol Moshe, his anti-Zionist Sefer, he says, I know it's going to be controversial, but I'm not afraid of anyone, except for the Dvar Yeshua. And, I'll be afraid of what his critique is, but no one else. So just that you could understand who the Dvar Yeshua was. So the Dvar Yeshua says, "Bizman hazeh," that the Gemara says, "B'shas hazakana minicha al shulchanu v'dayo." You have to light indoors now. The opposite of the Gemara. You have to light indoors. If you light outdoors, you're not yotze. The Dvar Yeshua says this, and Rav Eliashiv wrote a tshuva against it, saying that no, bizman hazeh, if it's safe, you can go back to lighting outdoors. The Brisker Rav said lighting indoors became a new takan. Minichal Shulchani Vadai was a new takana in Hilchas Chanukah. So we can't just, obliterate a new takana. And others disagree that it wasn't a new takana, it was just a practical thing. So in most places today light inside, not because they're choshish for the Dvar Yeshua, they light inside because just we still live, it's not as, easy to do it. But in Muncie, they get the fish tanks, right? And they, a lot of people light outdoors. Do your in-laws light outdoors?
Not that I know.
No. Okay. Maybe you'll see. But when you go, you'll be in Shabbos in Muncie, right? So you'll see. Maybe you'll see. You count how many menorahs you'll see in the street outdoors. You let me know how many you'll see. So what's the issue? Issues like this. So, but we light in shul. So we light in shul. So I didn't finish what I was saying. So one reason we light in shul, why we light in shul is because what? Is because of the orchid. The other reason we light in shul is because since we're not lighting outdoors anymore, so we're lacking that high level of persume misa, actually lighting outdoors. So the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rivash. So to supplement the lack of persume nusa that we're not lighting outdoors, we're lighting indoors, even though if we're lighting in the window, but still it's not outdoors. So to make up for that, we light in shul. That's the and because this way we'll get an added dimension of pursuing menisa in the shul. And it's interesting, we make a bracha in shul. Okay, but what's more interesting is that, and this is the whole discussion of the Chacham Tzvi, that even Sfardim, who normally don't make a bracha on a minhag, will make a bracha on Hadlakas Neiros Chanukah in shul. That became the practice.
Is that because it became like a takana, or is that by the Sfardim it became like a takana, or it's for just a different kind of a minhag that they?
Yeah, it's someone to say that was part of the part of the minhag. I once had a whole discussion with Rabbi Sobolovsky about this. He thought that maybe it's based on the brisker rav that it's part of, you know, part of the minhag, or because this type of minhag. Yes, but it wasn't. It's not a takan. It's not a takan. It's a minhag. But this minhag, even the Sfardim make a bracha in shul. Well, so what's the issue? So if you go to shul, I don't know about your shuls, but some shuls you go Friday in the winter when it's very early, and you don't get a minyan. You know, like you're waiting for Ashrei, and the minyan still is not there. So okay, so you'll get your minyan. But the thing is, when we light Neiros Chanukah and shul on Friday, we're lighting before mincha, right? So the question is, are you allowed to light in shul before you have a minyan? Or is it, since it's lighting in shul, it's for the community, if you don't have a minyan, you can't... So this is a machlokas between the Magen Avraham and Rav Yaakov Emden. The Magen Avraham says, okay, you don't have a minyan now, you can light in shul even without a minyan. The minyan will eventually come. That's good enough. But Rav Yaakov Emden says, no, you shouldn't make the brachas until the minyan is there. So therefore, people, if you want to be choshish for Rav Yaakov Emden's opinion, people should hurry up a little bit and come to shul before mincha time. So that's a challenge. It's not so easy. It's not so easy to do that. You know, especially in these long, the shorter, like one of the shortest, if not the shortest Shabbos of the year. And people are, you know, so but if you can help to be mashlim the minyan, so I'll have a minyan for the Hadlakas Neiros. So it's a, you know, be a helpful thing.
Sure. Rabbi, I have a question.
Room. Yeah. I don't hear you.
Unmuted 1 second because there's noise in the background. We don't light candles at mincha time if you daven early. Like normally they light candles right after mincha before Maariv. But if you're in shul and you light Friday afternoon, you daven mincha early, when do they light the candles? Before Kabbalat Shabbat?
When do they light the Shabbos candles?
No, the Chanukah candles in shul.
In shul. The Chanukah candles in shul, they're gonna light before mincha.
Why before mincha?
Oh, no, I'm just saying, if you have an early mincha, like we're davening at 3 at the Young Israel of Great Neck. So,
right, in other words, they're doing an early, to be yotze, right, this thing that I spoke about before. To be yotze, right, that you want to light, you want to do mincha before Hadlakas Neiros.
Right. I mean, I guess I'll see when they light candles. They're probably going to light candles before Kabbalat Shabbat.
They're going to probably light, and they're going to have another mincha minyan, or?
Yeah, they're going to have a mincha at 4:10 as well. So they'll probably light
right
between the
so
two.
So I assume they're going to light before mincha. They'll probably light at 4 o'clock. They're going to light.
Why light before mincha in shul?
I can't hear you, Rabbi Mazer.
Why light before mincha in shul?
Because if you light after mincha in shul, you're going to end up being Michal Shabbos.
Okay.
Right? Because, right, you know, by the time you finish Chazar Shashatz, it's going to get close to Shkia, if not by Shkia. And then, And then Chil Shabbos, it's not the best thing. Yeah, so most shuls light before Mincha on Friday. Okay. And then the other shaila that comes up is when you go to people go away for. So if you go away for Shabbos Chanukah, and Shabbos Chanukah is like one of the most, frequent in times that people go away for Shabbos to their parents, to their in-laws, to their friends, so then it becomes complicated where you light, when you light. So the verse says, an achsanai is mishtatev bepruta, gives a pruta to balabais. But some poskim hold that that's only when you're a boarder. When you're a boarder and you're paying for your room and board, so then you have to be mishtatev bepruta. But if you're not a boarder, you're just staying there. You're a regular guest, and you're not being charged. So if they're giving you the chicken for free and the whole Shabbos for free, what the little oil you have to pay for so that's what some poskim hold. Others disagree. Okay. Let's speak a little bit Mile Dagoda. About Chanukah, there's so much to say. The Beis Yosef has his famous kasha. Why 8 days? There was oil for one day, so the miracle only was 7 days. So they're literally, people write, many sfarim have been written. One of the recent sfarim I saw was entitled Shmona Miyodeya, and he wrote a whole book on how come we have 8 days of time. Shmona Miyodeya. That's how he titled the sefer. So the B'nai Yisachar says the following. He says the following idea. Listen carefully. He says there are 613 mitzvahs, right? Daraisa. But then there are 7 mitzvahs derabbanan, right? And Chanukah is the last of those 7, right? You have mitzvahs derabbanan, tilas yadayim. There are different mitzvahs derabbanan that you have. So 613 plus 7 is 6, is 620, right? And 620 is minyan what? Keser, a crown. Right, because Chof is 20, Tof is 400, and Resh is 200. So we finished the Keser, we finished with the last mitzvah, with the 7 mitzvahs of Rabbanim, and the last mitzvah is what? Is Chanukah. So he says the following, listen further. In the Aseres HaDibros, there are 613 letters of the Aseres HaDibros, 613, and the last 7 Asher L'Reyecha, right? Lo Sachmo, the Chol Asher L'Reyecha, right? So in the Aseres HaDibros, they're really 620, because in the 613. And the last Asher L'Reyecha is the end. Losach mode, right? The whole Asher L'Reyecha. So the last 7 letters of the Aseres HaDibros, Aleph, Shin, Resh, Asher L'Reyecha, is what? Is the Mitzvahs D'Rabban. Asher L'Reyecha. Okay? So which letter is Chanukah? The Chanukah is the last one. So what's the letter for Chanukah? No. What? I can't hear you, everybody. Chof. Chof Sofis. right? Chaf. And chaf, how do you spell chaf in Hebrew? Chaf pei, right? And that's pach. That's the pach. That's the pach shem. That last chaf. That's the pach shem. And therefore, when on the first day, when they discovered the pach shemen, and now it fit in that this is going to, they came to a realization, this is the last mitzvah, the Rabbanim, that we're going to get. This is the last mitzvah we're going to get. So we celebrate on the first day that that was the realization that that's going to be the gemar of the keser, of the 620 mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs d'oraisa and 7 mitzvahs d'rabbanan. And therefore, we celebrate Hanukkah, the first day of the realization of the realization of the gemar of the keser, and hence that's the going to be the mitzvah that we and that's the dinim derabbanan, and we know that Hanukkah is considered the yontif of Torah Shebal Peh. Why? Because it's the way the Svarim explain it is because it's the first yontif that's not in Tanakh. It's the first yontif that's not in the Ksuvim, Torah Nevi'im Ksuvim. Because Purim is the last thing, the Gemara says in Yom Chavtes, Purim is the last thing, the last one. And after Purim, the Gemara in Chavtes and Yom says, L'matzech al-ayel as-ha-shachar, ma-shachar sof kol ha-layla, af Esther kol sof kol ha-nisim. Esther is the last one of Nisim. The Gemara asks a question, what about Hanukkah? Hanukkah is after Purim. So the Gemara says, no, nitno likosif. It's the last, the Purim is the last one that's part of the canon. That's part of the Torah Shebichsav. But the first mitzvah that's the beginning of Torah Shebal Peh is Hanukkah. And that's why the Rav Gedalia Shor writes that we go now from what? From the time of the Nevi'im, the Tkufa Nevi'im, that's in Chumash, in Tanakh. Now there's no more Nevi'im anymore. Now it's Chachamim. Now it's Chachmei HaMesorah, and that's the Torah Shebal Peh. And the Torah Shebal Peh, the Gemara says in Gitna, Daf Samach, is Lokoras HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Koris Bris with Klal Yisrael, only Torah Shebal Peh. That's the unique relationship we have with Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's why there's a discussion, you know, with people who to teach Torah to Goyim, right? There's a whole discussion. In fact, Rav Teitz, you know, he was Rav Pinchas Teitz from Elizabeth, New Jersey, was one of the first people to give shiurim on the radio, and he wrote a whole thing. Is it proper? Because a goyim could listen. So he happened to give his shiur in Yiddish. So we wouldn't have so much of an issue of teaching goyim Torah that he discusses in Yiddish. But some poskim hold that teaching Torah shebichsav, you could teach to a non-Jew. I think the tziv holds, but not Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah Shebal Peh, you can't teach to goyim, and that's Hanukkah represents the beginning of this tkufa of Torah Shebal Peh, of the oral tradition, and that's why Rav Hutner writes a very interesting thing. He says, "What's this idea? You know, you learn sometimes the Gemara will say Chasuri Mechsera V'Chachi Katani, that the Mishnah, there's words missing from the Mishnah, right?" The Gemara says, Chasuri Mechsu, Hachi Katani. The word's missing, and this is what it should say. So why in the world would the Balei HaMishnah write the Mishnah in a way that you can't understand it because there are words missing? Why would you do such a thing? So Rav Hutner, the first piece Rav Hutner has in Pachad Yitzchak, Fakanika, he says like this, that we know we have a heter to write down Torshin Baal Peh, because Eislav Sos Hashem Yefiru Sorosecha, that we were afraid it's going to get forgotten. So there was a heter to write it. But so what is a heter? But if our whole relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is based on Torah Shem Bal Peh, that this is going to be a unique thing for us and not for the Goyim, so how do you do away with the relationship? By writing down Torah Shem Bal Peh, now it could be taken to by the Goyim. So Rav Huttner said, you know what? That's pshat in Kasuri Mechzvar. That even though there's a heter to write down Torah Shem Bal Peh, it still has to be written in an ambiguous way. So this way, only people who are privy to the secret that their words missing, so it still maintains an element of Baal Peh, even though there's a heter to write it down. That's the first piece that Rav Huttner writes in the, you know, that's one of the most famous pieces that Rav Huttner ever wrote in his Pachad Yitzchak and Chanukah. The first piece is that Chasuri Mechzera was bedaft to keep the element of Baal Peh, even though there's a heter, you still have to maintain that identity. That's why Rav Huttner writes, you know, there's a b'shas hashmad, that when there are gezeiros against the Jewish people not to keep Torah, you have to yarag v'yavor, not only for mitzvahs of Torah, even for the color shoelaces. The goyim wore certain color shoelaces, and we wear different color shoelaces. You know, so you have to give up your life even for the shoelaces. What are the shoelaces? The answer is because that was Jewish identity, and they were trying to shmad people into losing that uniqueness, losing that Jewish identity. You have to give up your life. Because this is a special idea, and Torah Shem Baal Peh, that's what Rav Shaul Brach writes, that Torah Shem Baal Peh, Kadosh Baruch Hu saw that this is the way that Klal Yisrael is going to maintain itself in Golos. You know, because in Golos, you know, you have to do something to keep the people, cheer the people up. You know, so if it's going to be Torah Shem Baal Peh, there's going to have to be a conversation, and there has to have to be a give and take, and that makes people excited and brings people in. And it's in the time of Golas, you know, I said over the other day, Rabbi Yitzchak Isby, it was a Rav in Brooklyn, he's from the Bronx. I used to daven in his shul. He unfortunately was died in his 40s. And his father-in-law was Rav David Kronglass, who was the Mashkiach Ner Yisrael in Baltimore. And I remember once he gave a Shalosh Shudas in memory of his father-in-law. And his father-in-law wrote one sefer called Divrei David. And the sefer was about Zroim, Lomdus and Zroim. Now, as you learned in yeshivas, who learns Zroim in yeshivas? Learn Nashim in the Zikr. You didn't learn Zroim in yeshivas, be'ian. So why was he learning Zroim be'ian and writing a sefer? So Rabbi Isri said, because his father-in-law said that when the Mir yeshiva left Mir and they went to, you know, Japan and then China, so it wasn't an easy thing. And wasn't, you know, even though they had miracles happen and they were able to get a building and everything, but it wasn't easy. So Rabbi David Kornblum says the only way he's going to survive is if he learns something new that he never learned before, and that's going to give him an excitement. That's going to give him an excitement, and then based on all the Torah that he learned from those, that Kufa, he wrote this Sefer. A Sefer Iyun on, I mean, it's 95% on Zroim. It has some other things also as well, but the main point is on Zroim. So that's what Rav Shaul Brach says. In Golas, we need, the Gemara says, Sanhedrin on the pasuk in Eicha, but Machashakim Hoshivani Kimei Olam Zet Talmud Shel Bavel. That the Talmud Shel Bavel is in Golos, is the time of darkness. But in the time of darkness, we need something, you know, to excite us, and that's going to be through Torah Shel Bal Peh. Because if we're Torah Shel Bal Peh, we're active participants in the Shachla Vatarya. You know, you have a discussion. It's thought provoking. It's a thing. So the Chanukah represents that. Chanukah represents the Gemar of the Mitzvah, the Gemar of the Keser. Kol Asher L'Re'echa. That Chaf Sofis. That's that Re'echa. The Chaf is Osios Pach. And that's the Pach Shemen. And that's the realization that it came on the first day when they found that Pach, says the Bnei Sasar. They realized that this is the Chasima now. And we know in the Hasidic Sfarim say, it's interesting. My daughter said to me on Hoshana Rabbah, I always thought, she said to me, the Chasima is Rosh Hashanah Chasevu, Yom Tzom Kippur Yechasemu. It's over, Yom Kippur, the Ila. So then we come and say, no, Hoshana Rabbah. My daughter said, no one told me about that. What about Hoshana Rabbah? And that's not in the Gemara. In terms of the Gemara, that's like in the Zohar, in the Kabbalistic things. In the Zohar, the Kabbalistic things, they've said, no, we still have to Hoshana Rabbah. And that's why we daven Yomim Noroim type of davening, Chazan wears a kittel, all these things, Hoshana Rabbah. But the Hasidic Svarim, they extended it to Hanukkah, that the Gemar Din is Hanukkah, that it still goes to Hanukkah. So, Be'ez Hashem, we wish everyone a good kvittel, a good yor,